Welcome to the Mozilla Digital Memory Bank Podcast, a production of the Center for History and New Media.
I'm Ken Albers, and this week we will hear excerpts from an oral history interview with Camino project lead Mike Pinkerton that Olivia Ryan and I recorded in June of 2006. Early in the interview, Mike discussed the support he receives on Camino from the organizational elements of Mozilla.
There's none by the Mozilla Foundation, and now especially there's none by the Mozilla Corporation. And I don't know how much you want me to talk about this, but this is a giant sore point I have with MoFo and MoCo, is that, you know, the way that they make money is by pushing Firefox. They don't care about anything else except for Firefox. You know, the fact that there are these other projects under their umbrella of Mozilla.org is something nice that they can tote when it's convenient to them, but they don't know how to market more than one thing, and all they can market is Firefox. And so, you know, when you go to their website and you say, you know, download Firefox, oh yeah, there's Camino too. You know, what kind of message does that send, you know, to the person coming to the website? And so recently, within the last year, I guess, we in the Camino project we separated all of our website from Mozilla. We just said, all right, screw you guys, we're going to take our ball and leave, because if you're really not going to do anything to support us besides some infrastructure, you know, and just give us minimal lip service, we're gonna go off to another website and build our own community. And it's unfortunate that that had to happen, but thankfully the two communities are still intermixed enough that, you know, we get a lot of benefit from that. But I think that's what really kind of got the upturn on Camino propaganda, if you want to call it that, was just being separated from the Mozilla Foundation and people knowing that they could go to this other site that had all of this wealth of information that didn't just push Firefox at you with every single page you went to. Because that's really all, you know, the foundation then and the corporation now want. You know, they want to make their money on Firefox because they got to stay alive. They gotta make money.
Having the experience of directing the Camino project, we asked Mike why he thought people volunteer to contribute their time and efforts to developing open source software.
When you stop and think about it, what they're doing is crazy. You know, there's no reason why they should be doing any of this, because again, you know, they're not getting paid for it. It's a significant time investment. It's generally very thankless. You know, I try and thank my QA people as often as I can remember to, but I know it's not one tenth of enough. But so, you know, the students in my class ask me that all the time. I say, you know, so why do people do this? And I think it really comes down to, you know, they see something they believe in and they want to contribute to it. You know, it's not so much that, you know, so what is the reward for them? You know, and Eric Raymond talked about this a lot in Homesteading the Noosphere. You know, he laid out sort of, you know, what is the reward system in the open source community? And, you know, a lot of it is kind of anthropological bullshit. But in some, you know, if you kind of boil it down to its core, you know, there's no monetary reward. There's, you know, so what else is left? Well, there's, you know, street credit. You know, there's respect from your peers for a job well done. You know, and that definitely goes a long way. And, you know, and you can parlay street credit into, you know, into tangible things like, you know, a teaching job or a job at Google or a job at Netscape or, you know, coming and talking to you guys, or, you know, so you can, you know, you turn those into tangible rewards. But, you know, really at the end of the day, you know, you're living in this kind of gift society where the gift, the reward is credit, is street credit, is, you know, is the admiration and the respect of your peers. And, you know, for a completely digital society, you know, people who, you know, I very strongly respect people I have never, ever met in person. You know, and that's kind of an interesting thing, you know, that I've interacted with these people just through this project on IRC or instant message or just even through bugs sometimes. Some people don't even come on IRC. They're only in the bug system. That I have respect for them. And if anybody ever came and asked me about them, I'd have this litany of really wonderful things to say about them. And I've never met them. I've never spoken to them. I've never heard their voice.
Later, we asked Mike to gauge the impact Firefox has had on the open source community.
I think it does a lot. Like I was saying earlier, a lot of the end user type open source applications, you don't want to use them. Nobody can figure out how to use GIMP. I'd rather use Photoshop. I mean, at least I can barely figure out Photoshop. I can figure out GIMP. OpenOffice works sometimes, And so the fact that it's made it to the mainstream, that, people have even sort of told me that, another reason why we Camino should get out from the Mozilla umbrella is because nobody recognizes what Mozilla is anymore. They know Firefox, but they don't know Mozilla. Someone even suggested that we rebrand ourselves as not a Mozilla-based browser, but as a Firefox-based browser, which is could not be further from the truth, but it gets it uses words that people understand. And to see such a very public acceptance of this product, in the mainstream media, even just by, people that really don't even understand open source, for them to be using it is this great kind of bridge to, this whole new audience that most open source projects never, ever come close to being able to bridge. And so, once it becomes a household name, understanding a little bit more about it, about the open sourceness, about what makes open source, about what makes a community, isn't right behind it, but eventually that starts to seep over as well. I don't think the mainstream media, I haven't read most of those articles, but my guess is they probably don't explain open source as eloquently as they could. But it puts the idea in people's minds. They're reading about it because they're interested in this product, and that kind of comes along with it for free. And then that opens the door for other products, for people to say, well, Firefox wasn't so bad. Maybe I'll give this other open source thing a try when they, if they hear about it. And hopefully there will be others who are of that level of quality who can bridge that gap. I'm sure it's only a matter of time. Firefox was a stroke of luck and a stroke of genius at exactly the right time for many aspects of the community. Can that be repeated? Probably. It's not easy.
At the end of the interview, we asked Mike if he views open source software development as a public service.
I have thought about it that way. It is, I think that's sort of why I do it, I think. Not in those words, because that sort of makes it sound like I'm doing something noble. But the main thing that got me interested in doing Camino, and there have been a lot of hardships, it hasn't been easy. We've been second and third class citizens in this open source community that's already a second or third class citizen. What makes me want to do that? What makes me continue to do this, even though I'm heinously busy? I no longer have the full control over things that I used to because I just don't have time. Is that 4 years ago or whatever, I saw something in this plausible promise that Hyatt and I put forth that, we can do something that can make some people's lives better. That we can fill this gap, this need that people have, just through doing things that come naturally to us. And what is the reward for me, I guess? Well, obviously I've turned that into financial gain through, various jobs. But the real reward for me is reading. We have a Camino feedback mailing list, and it gets probably, so if somebody wants to feedback, you can either click on the website or through the help menu, I think, help menu feedback. And just send an email, and it goes into this kind of, no-name bulk email at Mozdev or MoCo, I think. It probably gets about 40 or 50 emails a day, sometimes a little less, maybe 30 to 40. Pardon me. 99% of them are overwhelmingly positive. You know, this is from an internet culture where if you gave everyone free cars, they complain they had to pay for gas. You know, people on the internet don't stop and take the time to say nice things. You know, generally all they want to do is rant and flame. And when they have a problem, it's the biggest problem in the world, and everybody on the planet has to stop and listen to them vent about it. You know, people don't just stop their daily lives and say thank you. But for some reason, the Camino mailing list is full of overwhelmingly positive thank yous. You know, people will just say, I stumbled onto your browser randomly. Thank you so much. It's so great. I don't know how I live without it. Holy shit. You know, how can you not enjoy that? You know, and I think that's really what keeps me going and what keeps me believing that we started off with the right goal and we're making the right choices to execute on that. Because without execution, you know, all of those emails would stop. You know, and that's part of the reason why we don't release every, you know, 2 months or whatever, is because we've set this bar for ourselves as, you know, we've set a very high bar. You know, 07 was really, really good. You know, given all the shit that was coming out of Netscape at the time, you know, Camino 07 was really good. 08 was even better. You know, 09 was even better. 1.0, you know, nobody has anything bad to say about it. You know, and so, you know, we have this very, very high bar for ourselves. And, you know, just making the choices to maintain that high bar, you know, because I know that as soon as, you know, if I decide to step away and put this on a shelf, say, yeah, I don't really want to do this anymore, it's been a good ride, you know, will we be able to, you know, to keep that high bar? You know, probably, because I think I've filled the roles around me with the people who know how to make the same decisions that I probably would have made. You know, at least if not the same decisions, then with the same mindset. You know, with the same background and bringing the same reasoning to it. You know, they make different choices, but they're the right choices for, you know, for the way that the project has grown. You know, and so I think that's what kind of keeps me doing it, is I want to be involved in that process that gets, you know, 99% people who, you know, stop their daily lives to say thank you. You know, is that a public service? Hard to define, but it's certainly rewarding.
Thank you for listening this week. We'll be back in 2 weeks with highlights from an interview with Chief Lizard Wrangler Mitchell Baker. In the meantime, please help us collect the history of Mozilla, both from the developer and user perspectives. Visit mozillamemory.org or email us at mozmem@gmail.com. That's mozmem@gmail.com, and become a part of history by contributing your story to the Mozilla Digital Memory Bank.